The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, with you on this Open Phone Friday, 30 June 2017. Sandy Hook, collateral damage, lawyer found dead in overturned car. A lawyer named Guksa Abraham, Abe DeBella, was found in his overturned car on a lonely country road close to his home in a small upscale Redding, Connecticut. The local police, including Chief Douglas Fuchs, determined right away that the car had crashed and overturned because Mr. DeBella had been drinking. Now, DeBella was so embarrassed that he shot himself in the back of the head inside his own car, they said. A shoe print was found on the back of his, on his back. A shoe print was found on his back. And I guess, according to Mr. Fuchs, I guess he trampled on himself as well. Now, Attorney DeBella, a bachelor, used to frequent a couple of local establishments where also Reading police and firemen could be found on a regular basis. Were tongues being let loose there? Did Mr. DeBella hear something that he found troubling? The reason for the question is because Reading Police Chief Douglas Fuchs bragged during the Sandy Hook event that he was on speed dial with then Newtown Police Chief Michael Kehoe. He also bragged about he and his men were the first on the scene, even before Newtown Police showed up and he had to take command of the situation. Now, another actor covering up Mr. DeBella's death is Danbury State Attorney Stephen J. Sedensky, who had a star billing in the Sandy Hook saga, by the way. He became a master in cover-ups. And the editor makes a note on this. Sandesky acknowledged in his official report on Sandy Hook that they had been unable to connect the AR-15 that was to allege to have been used with any of the slugs recovered, and that the rifle he was supposed to have used to shoot his mother didn't even have his fingerprints on it, which means that his investigation was unable to connect the weapons to the victims of the purported shooter. And that's a complete forensic failure, folks. That sounds like something Mr. Berger would come up on the old Perry Mason show. Let's throw this at the wall and see if it sticks. Now, a third person, a sort of a decent guy who's tangled up in the this drama, is now retired Connecticut State Police Commissioner Rupert F. Bradford. Scared it, didn't you? Attorney DeBella wrote to Bradford for help when Reading Police Chief Fuchs sat on gun permission DeBella had submitted. Now, Bradford intervened on DeBella's behalf and said that he must have ticked off the heroic police chief. Now, so in other words, he applies for a weapons permit and he's turned out. Now, Newtown is surrounded by small, affluent towns with their own police and fire departments. Now, perhaps Mr. DeBella did run his car off the lonely road. Maybe he did shoot himself in the back of his own head and even trampled himself on his own back. It's as likely a story as Sandy Hook Saga with the same actors involved. Now, DeBella's family lives in Maryland, and they're not quite sure how familiar they are with the Sandy Hook Saga. They probably have no way of connecting the dots here. It may be nothing, but then again, there's never smoke without fire. When first coming across the DeBella story about it on the now-defunct Memory Hole blog, James Tracy devoted much time and space to Sandy Hook on this blog. As a result, he lost his job and the blog was taken down. And the editor makes a final note on the story: the death of Guxa DeBella would not be the first associated with Sandy Hook. Tony Mead, who had done exceptional work on the charade, has noted a growing list of disappearing witnesses related to the case, which was published by James Tracy on his memoryholeblog.com. Now, does anybody here seriously believe that an attorney with a background in neurobiology and physiology from the University of Maryland College Park, a master's in public health, and a law degree from Cardozo School of Law would contemplate suicide because he had had an accident? That he was drunk enough to have the accident and formed the intention to take his own life in despair? Shot himself in the back of his own head and then stomped on his own back? Let me tell you something here, folks. People that commit suicide do not shoot themselves in the back of the head. And one reason for that is what you don't want to do is maim yourself or cripple yourself with enough left inside rattling around in your head that you realize for the rest of your life you're going to have to put up with what you did to yourself. No, people that commit suicide are resolute to do exactly that. And how they do it? Well, there's a myriad of ways of doing it, but there are repeating scenarios. So, most people that shoot themselves in the head. They'll shoot themselves in the temple, or they'll aim for their heart. Sometimes that's not the best way to do it, because sometimes you can just shoot yourself in the chest, wound yourself, and you don't even hit the heart. And that's speaking on something I know something about. Men will generally stick the gun to their temple or stick it in their mouth and pull the trigger. Did you refresh my screen? Figured you did because it's now blank. Bob in Michigan. Hello, Bob.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
I'm the guy up near Alpena.
Okay, does that mean you're Youper Bob?
No.
Oh, well, don't get testy.
I tried to correct you on one of my donations, and I said Alpena always has been and always will be in the Lower Peninsula.
Okay. All right, well, don't make me strain so much, because it isn't like you call into the show every day.
Well, that's true. Okay. That's true. I was at a restaurant here shortly, a couple times, and they had this new, to me, network on. It's called One America
News.
America News Network, yeah.
No, One America.
Well, do you have any comments on that?
Well, I think I made one the other day. Weren't you listening?
Apparently not.
I was sitting here with Mike Herzog, and we were talking about that.
Oh,
I said that the difference between One America News, it's OAN, is that they do the stories everybody else does a little bit more in depth, but the deliverers or the talking heads don't offer their political or agenda slant to the story.
That's kind of what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen it, you know, as long as it takes to eat a meal, 30, 40 minutes, two times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed both times. I mean, it seemed like they were pretty concise, pretty down to earth, and they didn't seem to omit much of anything compared to what I've, you know, tried to listen to over the years and finally gave up on.
Yeah.
Except for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, your network, not just you, the whole network.
Well, I was hoping you just weren't referring to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're on from the time I get up to the time I go to bed.
Well, we know Alpena's safe.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Bob?
No, sir. So I'm hoping that they'll come on Dish Network. Otherwise, I'd have to change to DirecTV, and I don't want to do that.
And I think they're on some cable outlets. I know that they're on, not Sirius, DirecTV. I know they're on DirecTV.
So, yeah, if you click on the TV hot button and down at the bottom, it has a list of all the different providers by state. And I'm out in the boondocks. I mean, I'm out in the sticks. I'm not really in Alpena. That's just the closest recognizable.
Look, Bob, I don't know if most people around the country know it, but once you get past Grand Rapids and go a little bit north, you're in the sticks.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. By the way, I hear you're there's a resurgence of mountain lions now in Michigan.
Yes. They finally, after 3 years of pictures and stuff, one guy finally went right to the DNR and said, here's a picture. I saw the thing in my backyard, and I got a picture of it. And they finally said, oh, yeah, I guess so. There's lions here in Michigan in the Lower Peninsula.
And it's they're on the do not kill list because they are an endangered species. What the DNR can't seem to figure out is if, and this is the story I got in a Detroit News, whether it was a cougar that was released locally. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute here. Who's got a cougar? Okay, I know there's people that keep weird pets. And I know they can't handle them sometimes. They get too big and too wild, and they can't deal with it. And they might let them loose. But, I mean, there have been multiple sightings. It can't be the same damn cat in the lower peninsula. And the DNR can't figure out if it was a locally released animal or there's actually a resurgence of cougars in Michigan. In other words, they're out there propagating in the forest and having little kitties.
Yeah. When I lived in Brighton years ago, there was a guy that used to come into town to the Dairy Queen, and he had a mountain lion in the back of his pickup truck.
Seriously?
It was his pet, you know, and people come up and he'd scratch it behind his ears, and he'd roll over on his back and purr like a little kitty, more like a rumble, but anyway, it was pretty docile. I mean, I didn't pet the thing. I want nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, and even if it tried to show your affection, it'd probably strip half the flesh off your face by licking you.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, those kitties have some pretty rough tongues for one reason. That's stripping, stripping meat off of the bone.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll take your word for that.
Okay, then. All right, Bob. Hey,
thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, see ya.
Illegal alien. Well, what's an illegal alien anymore? Oh, that's right. They're just undocumented people. This is another one of these stories that you aren't going to believe is true, but it is. It happened in California where anything, no matter how inexplicable, no matter how dumb, it often happens on a repeated basis. Here in a nutshell first, a native El Salvador sneaks into America. He cruises up to San Francisco, figures he's safe, it being a sanctuary city, where municipal officials refuse to help the federal government deport illegals. His car is stolen. He goes to a police station. Someone there notifies the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and then he's arrested. Now, San Francisco taxpayers could soon pay him $190,000 for his dramatic pain and suffering. Here's the details. Pedro Figueroa Zarceno walked in, and I'm not going to say the name again, I'll just say the illegal, walked into a police station in December of 2015 to recover a stolen car. Shortly after he left the station, ICE agents arrested him. He was held for 2 months. His lawyers argued that federal ICE documents show that the San Francisco police officer directly contacted the immigration agency to tell them where to find the illegal alien. That, the lawyers say, is a violation of sanctuary city policy. Oh, I see. Now, the illegal says it was horrible after he was detained from breaking U.S. law. He said, I could hear my daughter screaming outside the van, Dad, Dad, He said, according to KPIX-5, the local CBS affiliate, I could hear her telling them not to take her dad. But here's the thing. Another San Francisco law says illegals can't be detained by immigration authorities for deportation unless wanted for serious crimes. Now, the illegal alien did serve 2 days in jail for a DUI, but his attorney says he was otherwise clear, except for that pesky only civil deportation order dating back to 2005 for, you know, sneaking into America. And according to KPIX, Police Sergeant Michael Andrejczak said in a statement Friday that then-Police Chief Greg Suhr had informed Mayor Ed Lee that the illegal never should have been taken into custody by ICE after being released from the Southern Police Station. It is the policy of the San Francisco Police Department to foster trust and cooperation with all people of the city and to encourage them to communicate with San Francisco Police Department officers without fear of inquiry regarding their immigration status. Now, the department is investigating, and if any violations of policies and procedures are found, there will be serious consequence. John Cote, a spokesman for the Office of San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera, said that San Francisco has strong policies in place to encourage victims and witnesses to report crimes without fear of being deported, which include our sanctuary ordinance. Now, these policies are designed to foster respect and trust between law enforcement and the residents to ensure our communities are safe. The city, including the police department, remain committed to them. Nakote said this proposed settlement is a fair resolution for all parties involved. Well, you know what? That's great. So, Mr. Cote, why don't you go to your current chief of police? Why don't you go to the rank and file with the badges? Why don't you go to your city council members? While you're at it, why don't you go to the municipal judges? Why don't you take up, since a court out there was nice enough to grant this guy $196,000, why don't you all take up the collection and pay for it yourself? How's that one? But no, the good people that are left, and you want to talk about an endangered species in California, for the ones that are left that understand states' rights, understand a federal constitution, understand the role of government, and understand how far you've stepped over the line that, oh my God. I mean, this is what I'm saying, folks. It is rapidly getting out of control in this country. And when I mean getting out of control, I mean liberty losing, freedom losing, rights losing. The culture of this very country changing beyond recognition. The politics that are swimming around in deadheads. That somehow, that if you get a group of people that's loud enough, and louder than the other people, that you just keep yammering and one of your elected officials is going to go, oh, okay, well, I'll take up your cause for you. You know, if you want that kind of democracy, great, go seek one out. This is not a democracy. 51% of the people on any issue doesn't get the right to make it their agenda and to see it forced down other people's throats. Now, here's generally the way that it does happen. You propose stuff to your state legislature, whatever. You say, we got a better idea. The state legislature guy or woman is supposed to look at this and go, okay, am I allowed to do this under state and federal law, or the federal constitution, I should say? And if it's not there, then guess what? I'm sorry, my dear constituents, I can't do that because that's not, God, then they would choke on these words. That's not constitutional. So the way it is right now, and what's happening, these policies, the laws that are on the books, the federal judges that are sitting on these benches, they're adjudicating and they're supporting agendas which, hell, even 20, 30 years ago in this country, folks, judges would have been laughed out of their own courtrooms for doing this sort of stuff, or at least lost their tenure. Not so today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Lower. Okay. By the way, I wanted to ask the audience out there, have you noticed something on your computer? Mike, has this happened to you outside the network? You go to click on a site and you get this warning that the certificates are not valid, and do you want to proceed anyhow? And then when you, even if it doesn't say that, you'll click on a website and all of a sudden in the little banner up there, it'll click and you'll see this yellow flashing going on. Have you noticed this? Or is it just me? You don't go on the internet except for your phone. Well, what help are you? Oh, my goodness. 800-313-9443. Open Phone Friday. Don't like what I'm talking about? What would you like to talk about? Or would you even like to talk at all? There's one for you. And what else is worth reporting on? I'm running out of news stories. It's been a slow cycle because we've been cycling through the news about Mika. Did you post that story, by the way? On, let me see if I can find it here real quick. And this is getting rather fascinating because apparently, and I'll just do this because I can't find the story. I'll just do this from memory. Joe Scarsborough and Mika Brzezinski were screwing around with each other while they were still married. And that somehow a tabloid had got a hold of this. And the lamestream media, and especially the new... Are they married yet? Haven't they cleaned up the divorce yet? are claiming that that somehow that Jared Kushner had tried to blackmail them, saying that you know, he could stop that story from coming out if you just shut up about Donald Trump. Now, according to some of the backstory here, it was Joe Scarsborough and Mika Brzezinski. And her, by the way, her only claim to fame was that was her daddy. She's certainly not a journalist. She acts entitled. She sits there with a sickening smirk on her face, making more than derogatory comments. As if she's sitting there having a conversation with a little girlfriend, she always does it when she looks over and then drops her head down and makes a snide remark like she literally is talking down. And that Trump, when they showed up, and the point that of this is they showed up at Mar-a-Lago, at Trump's hotel, to try to wheedle an interview out of him. And he declined. And then Trump, you know, and this is the big argument going on in the media, you know, this is worth arguing about, that evidently she had just recently had a facelift and her face was bleeding excessively. And what did Trump do about that? Well, he came to tweet that out. Now, some are saying that that's not very presidential. Well, I don't know. The guy's really not a poser. He says what's on his mind. You know, can anybody look me straight in the face and tell me that George Bush Jr. was presidential material? Herzog and I were talking about this the other day. Fool me once, shame on you. And he's trying to scramble for the rest of the phrase, and I won't get fooled again. No. Numbnuts, that wasn't it. It's just... Snyder, John, this is for you, since you love your governor so much. Republican Governor Rick Snyder on Friday vetoed a proposal to create a Choose Life fundraising license plate in Michigan, saying it would be inappropriate for the state to endorse a political message that could divide residents. This gets pretty good because it brings up more questions than what it actually answers. 800-313-9443, open phone Friday. Watch, they'll wait to the last 20 minutes and 20 people will try to jam into 10 minutes. Okay, 800-313-9443, start dialing now. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to, so I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
So Governor Rick Snyder doesn't want this specialty plate. It would have raised funds for life-affirming programs and projects endorsed to by the Right to Life of Michigan, a prominent anti-abortion group. Now, the GOP-led legislature had approved the bill this spring, and sponsor Senator Patrick Kolbeck, Republican out of Canton Township, called the governor's veto utterly disgraceful. In a letter to legislators explaining the veto, Snyder said he thought the plate carried a political message he feared could bitterly divide millions of Michiganders. And that, in my view, is not appropriate for a state-issue license plate. Now, Kolbeck denied the license plate carried a political message despite its link to the controversial abortion issue, arguing life is a fundamental right that extends beyond the specific debate and he disputed the governor's suggestion it would be divisive. The only way that holds any credence as a divisive message is if somehow you believe choose death is a viable message, and it's not. And that's funny, because as I started to read the story, that's exactly what I thought. You know, I once said on the air several weeks ago that, choose life. Well, that pretty much says it about the anti-abortion people. So what do the pro-abortion people use? Well, how about if they just told the truth, as this guy suggested? Choose death. One side, our choice is life. The other side must be, I choose death. Choose life license plates are allowed in 29 other states, according to the National Conference for State Legislatures. The Michigan plate would have cost about $35, including the standard $10 fee, and the proceeds would have been placed into a Choose Michigan Life fund governed by Right to Life of Michigan President Barbara Listing and others. That's her name, by the way, not Barbara Listing. It's her last name is actually Listing. We hope Snyder would recognize this wonderful opportunity to provide care to pregnant women in need and help suicide prevention efforts. This is according to Listing. She said this in a statement. The support for Choose Life Plate is still there, and it will happen in Michigan. It's just a matter of time. We look forward to taking this issue up with the next governor. Well, good luck with that one. Now, Kolbeck, who announced this month he is running for governor, questioned whether there was any personal motivation behind the veto by Snyder, who cannot seek re-election due to term limits. Michigan Attorney General Bill Schutte, the Midland Republican, who may also run for governor in 2018, also said he was disappointed by Snyder's veto. Another potential candidate, Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly of Portland, supported the license plate legislature, but respects Snyder's decision. Now, Planned Parenthood and the American Civil Liberties Union, well, of course, here we go, of Michigan, testified against the proposed license plate in committee, arguing it would amount to a viewpoint discrimination because it would only give voice to one side of the political debate. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, stop. So, what would be the problem with pro-abortion people coming out with their own? Wouldn't that make sense? Just because they don't have one now, they want to stop this because they're saying that, it's unfair. It's unfair. It's discriminatory because it only gives voice to one side. Well, what is stopping you from doing your own vanity plate? And I would love to see plates up there that said, choose death. Because that's truly what it is. And to most people, it's just become a matter of convenience if you can't control your own little body parts, that somehow you accidentally create a baby, then instead of using a contraceptive of some sort, and that you're maybe not a preferable choice, but hey, since you're getting it for free, why not? Oh, I'm pregnant. Dad, don't worry about it. Run down to the Kill the Baby shop. Women's health shouldn't be a political issue, Planned Parenthood advocates of Michigan said in a statement after Snyder's veto, suggesting our opponents have unfortunately attempted to make it one. Snyder did the right thing by rejecting the legislation, said Shelley Weisberg, figures with the ACLU of Michigan. Thank you. We don't think the state should really create that type of forum for controversial one-sided political speech, and that's what this would have been. If you're going to open up that forum, you have to do it widely. Now, these are lawyers, folks, so they presenting any sort of argument that you would recognize as being valid? I haven't detected it either. It's not the first time Snyder's clashed with the anti-abortion lobby. The governor, who says he's personally opposed to abortion, except in cases of rape, in 2012 vetoed legislation to restrict insurance coverage for the procedure. Right to Life Michigan responded to that veto by launching a petition drive to advance the abortion insurance legislation, a maneuver that allowed the Republican-led legislature to approve and enact the measure without the governor's signature in 2013. Kobach said there are not enough votes in the House to pursue a similar path this time around. The lower house chamber has approved the bill in a 65-43 vote, but two-thirds majority would be required to overturn the veto or bypass Snyder through a petition drive. Supporters argued the fundraising plate would have benefited women who have babies through unplanned pregnancies, supporting services like crisis pregnancy centers, homes for pregnant women, outreach to be at-risk populations, and campaigns to promote adoption and suicide prevention. And Snyder said in this veto letter, these are all noble causes, but having a private fund making funding decisions is a concern. To whom? To whom? You want to keep the people out of your face, Mr. Snyder, that sees things a little bit differently than you do, so you just want to play Hinkelschlitz and Underhausen? You want to play that game? Pam in Michigan. Hello, Pam. What do you think of this one?
Hi, John. I wasn't really listening to that. I've been trying to get to the phone to talk to you about your earlier discussion on pre-programming young children for homosexuality. I used to work for a federal agency nationwide that teaches young children, and it shall remain nameless.
Well, you didn't sign any confidentiality agreement, did you?
No, I did not.
Okay, well then say it. What? How could it harm you?
Head Start.
Okay, there you go.
Head Start.
And by the way, just so you know, Pam, when I was down in Ohio as a way younger man, I used to work for Head Start as well.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. So we share something.
I know for a fact that this is an agenda, and because everything, this was back in the late 90s, they were, you know, trying to make sure everything is gender neutral, can't have any boys and girls, you know, so this has been going on for a while.
And Pam, let me ask you this, you being a woman, do you have children of your own?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And
I'm
also,
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm also a grandma.
Okay, all right, Okay, my argument, do you believe this to be a learned experience, or do you think this is just happening like it's just naturally happening and developing in our children?
No, it's an agenda.
Thank you.
It's definitely an agenda. And I believe where it's going is to normalize homosexuality.
And I agree.
They're using the children, just using the children.
Well, and my analogy, it might not have been the best one, but, you know, the little farm boy, the 13-year-old that's out there helping his daddy on the farm, and, you know, it's a tight family. Dad mm-hmm. loves mom, doesn't beat her, is not a drunkard. He's a good father. He
right.
provides. He provides his life lessons to the family there as best he can while working his little butt off from sunrise to sunset. What do you think the chances are that the boy is going to turn out to be a foo-foo?
Slim to none.
Probably.
Unless he gets that social engineering. That
from an outside source to corrupt his
right.
little brain, and instead of letting
right.
nature take its course with the natural
right.
choices that would follow, we got to go in there and corrupt their little minds.
Now, I had my grandmother raised me, and she came from, I don't know, a family of like nine. And there was an older brother, Cousin Clarence. I remember them talking about him, and Cousin Clarence was one. But they didn't talk about him all
well,
that
why not,
much.
Well, why not? Now,
I
come
mean,
on now, Pam. Pam, no, that was years ago.
Nature.
Pam, that, mm-hmm. that's not bad. One out of nine ain't bad. You had a 90% hit ratio there.
Right. Right. Right.
But well, what do you suppose?
All of this.
Now, thank you. What do you suppose would happen if that family was being inundated with the foo-foo message? Do you think the ratio might have been a little bit higher, maybe?
Oh, most assuredly.
That's what I thought, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll even take it a step farther, that when I was taking my CDA classes, in the literacy portion of it, the teacher who had been, she'd been a kindergarten teacher prior to teaching college students, she kept saying that the visuals, the pictures are going to be the new language. So tell me they're not trying to dumb us down.
Well, I don't know.
I still work in the system, in a distant fashion, so to speak.
All right. Well, Pam.
Support staff fashion.
Well, I appreciate your phone call today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye. I'm telling you, if it's not stopped now, folks. And the next question that follows after that, okay, how do you stop it? Ooh. there's where it gets a little tricky. Dennis in New York. Hello, Dennis.
Greetings from the Catskills there, John.
How you doing?
You know, last time I called you, I was calling you from Florida, and I got into an extended conversation that I must apologize to you. Me and Gerald Celente were reliving our past.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're the guy. All right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's a funny thing. I grew up watching Daniel Patrick Moynihan on television, and I always thought he was the kind of guy that drank the tea with his pinky extended. And he was actually, I've been told in later years, he was a straight family man with kids and everything. But he did write a book that talked about the legitimization of deviancy in our society. And I've yet to see it, but sometimes I'm going to try and track down. The real reason I'm calling you for, though, is that something I wanted to relate to you and just get your opinion on it. In September of 2000, I was in a Coast Guard base in New York City, okay, training with the FDNY, the fire department down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they housed us down there for about a month. And one of the fellows from upstate New York went out to dinner one night with a buddy of his who was, you know, rolling with the big boys in the financial district. And they went out to a nice restaurant and everything. And these guys were talking about stuff. And he came back and told us this incredible story about how these guys were railroad financiers and how they had planned then to be putting billions of dollars into the rail system. In other words, where they're going to cut down the over-the-road trucking and go more with the rail system, use the trucking more for short term.
Oh, you mean the way it should be?
Well, I guess so.
No, and the reason I say that, Dennis, is because that's the way it used to be. And this idea that, well, you know, we've got to stimulate business within our state or within our community, within, you know, whatever. And they started down a track that, I mean, I've seen the 18-wheelers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen, you know, what's their maximum weight, which tears up the roads as it is. And this is not a very good system for shipping goods long distances. As a matter of fact, it's quite expensive. And you're exactly right. What used to be used were the rails, and it was like depot, drop the stuff, and then trucks would distribute it locally. That's the way it used to be. Then somebody got the grand idea to flip this whole thing on its head, and turn the spurs and the right-of-ways that these railroads used to have into snow ski or hiking trails or whatever the case may be. When I saw that, I thought, you know, this is grossly inefficient, and I see some rigging in this deal because it was a stupid idea.
How far back do you think that started, John, where they made the switch over?
Well, I would argue that it started to happen when unions started to garner more power.
And like then
Teamsters, and like they hooked themselves to the politicians. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a funny thing because I've been thinking about this all these times, and he pointed out an area in Orange County, New York, that I've seen grow with these huge distribution centers for all these corporations. Mm-hmm. And some of them are medical. Some of them are Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right in the midst of areas that have a lot. Actually, there's a lot of rail systems running through this area. And you have the interstate also heading east and west, the whole eastern seaboard, and heading out west towards Pennsylvania, Ohio, and all of that. And I always remember, it seems that the powers that be always seem to know what's going to happen.
Before it happens.
17 years ago, you know? I mean.
Hey, Dennis, hang on one second. I've got to take a break. Ken, I'll make you the last call of the program today. We'll be right back.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be, been talking to my neighbor, and he agrees with me. song gone crazy.
You know, it's really nuts. A federal judge has temporarily blocked a voter-approved California law that would have forced gun owners to get rid of high-capacity ammunition magazines by this Saturday. Now, that's nuts. That's California. Dennis, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just... Pretty much, you gave me a good answer there, John. I wasn't aware of the fact that the transition, you know, being done, you know, because all I've ever seen was the 18-wheelers rolling and not seeing the rail systems used as they really should be used.
Well, and I know something of this because I used to work for the railroad.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, and I worked one of the biggest switch yards in the world in, let me think of the right name for it. It was Bellevue, Ohio.
Well, do you remember a commercial I used to be on years ago? How they say, like, an ounce of coal can move a freight train, like, a mile down a track?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I haven't seen that lately, and that really perked up my interest, thinking, this is going to happen, it's going to happen. Okay, how do you invest in this? Well, most of us don't have any money to invest anyway, but just to see how it would, you know, would go. On another note, I've been listening to your show a lot lately, and your fellow Mr. Herzog, he's got one hell of a show there, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, Mike, who's filling in for him tonight? Eric Jones. Forget the middle name. That's only after you're indicted by the feds they use your middle name. At any rate, yeah.
Well, John, I want to wish you a good 4th of July. Will you be on the air on the 4th?
You know what? I don't know. Mike says, yeah, we're going to be here.
Well, I'll be looking forward to it. Thanks again.
All right, thanks, Dennis. I appreciate your call. And Ken from Fort Worth. Hello, Ken.
Today, Sharon Jackson Lee, that black representative down there in Texas somewhere, she gets up and says, well, that Trump ought to just resign, blah, blah, blah. Well, she needs to resign. Write to her and call her and tell her to resign.
I wouldn't be opposed to that, but they're not going to.
Oh, no. Hey, speaking of railroads, I used to work for Pullman Standard, Michigan City, Indiana, back in 61, 62,
mm-hmm.
and I worked on probably the first auto carrier ever built. I said, what are you going to do with this 85-footer, you know? But that was 62, 60, maybe sometime in that time period when I worked here. We built the prototype there.
You know, and it was interesting, the last time I paid any attention to that is when GM came up with a new way of shipping their Vegas. Remember that wonderful car that GM used to make?
Oh, boy, a long time ago.
And what they did was they put them vertically so they could stack more of them on a car, on a double-decker.
Well, that doesn't make it all bad. But
No, I'm not saying that it does. I'm just saying they found a better and
yeah.
more, a less expensive way to ship their crap on the...
I never knew they did that.
Yeah.
Anyway, did it hurt the car to do it vertically like that?
No, it didn't, evidently. How can you harm a piece of junk? I mean, that's like saying that if you would have shipped Pintos that way, nose down instead of nose up, that somehow that would have prevented the gas tanks from exploding when hit.
I saw a video on YouTube. This guy takes a fork truck and he goes up about too high and he gets a small car. And they shut it down, they take it apart and destroy it. I don't know who or what or what the point was. Maybe they were test cars and they just destroyed them. I don't know.
All right, anyhow, Ken, we're out of time.
Okay, bye-bye. Now have a good weekend.
Okay, you too. All right, that'll do it for us today, folks. Back with you Monday with another edition of the National Intel Report. Do not forget, we're still in this pledge drive, and we're not meeting the goal. We were hoping to meet the goal by the end of 1 month of doing this. Help us get over this. You're tired of hearing it, and we're tired of talking about it. Please help today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.